All right, Travel say good morning. Let us begin. Thank you again for accommodating a little bit of the earlier start. This same year, we'll be able to get through some halach lamaisa as well. Let's begin by thanking our sponsors. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Kislev, Sammy and Malka Esterson, for dedicating all of the shiurim and drushos this month in memory of their parents, Yitzchok Leib ben Aaron HaKohen, Ludwig Stiefel, Sarah Rachel Bas Baruch Avram, Sarah Stiefel, and Hinda Bas Henoch Ephraim Hinda Esterson. Our week of learning sponsors, Jack Bennett, in memory of First Sergeant Rafi Zangville, who served as an infantry soldier in the Givati Brigade and was killed by Hezbollah in southern Lebanon on January 25th, 2000. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, these neshamas will have an aliyah and the families in Nechama. We thank our Dafyomi sponsors and the Schos of Refuah Shleima for Ruchama Aviva Bas Shein Lachana and for Rachel Yehudis Bas Tova Gittel. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, these two special women, together with Kol Chole Yisrael, will have a complete and enduring refuah. And also with that, let us begin. So we have a lot of really incredible Gemaras. What's beautiful about these Gemaras, as we're going to see over the next little bit, is a little bit of a window and an insight into some of the events which occurred inside of the Beis HaMikdash and how Beis HaMikdash life was conducted. So also we left off, today's daf is Kuf Gimel 103, and we are picking up, we left off on 102b. We left off with Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 19 lines up from the bottom. So we'll say, so remember again, the discussion in our Mishnah was going ahead and putting a bandage on a wound, or I should say, better stated, returning a bandage to a wound on Shabbos. So the Mishnah stated that halacha lemaisa, you can go ahead and put a bandage back onto a wound. Remember again, the case that Rashi explained was a Kohen wants to do the Avodah. The problem is he was injured before Shabbos. So before Shabbos, he put a bandage on his wound. The problem is he cannot do the Avodah with the bandage on his hand, so he would want to take it off. But the problem is if he's not allowed to put it back on, there was a general concern that he may come to abstain from doing the Avodah if he is unable to return his bandage. So therefore, again, the Mishnah explained the issue. Also, what was the issue with putting the bandage back on? So interestingly enough, you know, there really appears to be two issues. One issue is an issue of refuah on Shabbos, medicinal healing. But the real issue that they were concerned about was the issue of memareach, smoothing out, right? The bandage often has an ointment, or there's an ointment that's covered by the bandage. And the concern is that the coin may come to smooth things out, the ointment. So therefore, I will say that's a concern. Now, that's a dirabanan. So remember, again, that this is a dirabanan concern. Memareach is a daraisa, but the concern is dirabanan. Therefore, the Mishnah said, you can go ahead and return the bandage to in the Beis HaMikdash, but not outside of the Beis HaMikdash. The logic being, the concept will say one line to remember, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. That in general, again, we suspend Dinei Dirabanan in the Beis HaMikdash itself. Good. So we'll say, so remember again, come along Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said as follows. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Rabbi Shmuel. Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. But remember again, what did Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda held that halacha lemaisa, if the bandage falls off, you cannot put it back on. But if the bandage slips, right? If the bandage slips, let's say it slips forward, you can move it back. It slips back, you can move it forward. That's Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, furthermore, Amar Rav Chista, so Rabbi Yehuda suggests that that's how the halacha follows. If the bandage falls off, you can't put it back, but halacha lemaisa, if the bandage slips, you can go ahead and return it back to its original location. Amar Rav Chista, lo shano ela shepir shagah bekli. Furthermore, I will say, now Rav Chista is coming along and talking about the Tanakama. Now remember, the Tanakama allows you, in the Beis HaMikdash, that even if, or even outside of the Beis HaMikdash, that even if halacha lemaisa, the bandage falls off, you're allowed to go ahead and put it back on. This is according to the Tanakhama. Even it sounds like outside of the Beis HaMikdash. As long as you have the bandage on before Shabbos, if it falls off on Shabbos, you could put it back on. So Rav Chista comes along and says, but when is that true? Lo shanu elo shepir shagabi kli. That's only true if when the bandage fell off, it fell onto a utensil. Look at Rashi for just a moment. So this is Rashi in the wide lines, about 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines up from the bottom. Elisha Pirsha Gabe Kli, Ala Karo Ala Keses. So if the bandage fell off and it fell on the mattress or it fell on some other utensil. However, Aval Pirsha Gabe Karko Debra Koloser. But Aloha Mansa, if the bandage falls off and the bandage falls onto the ground, everyone agrees that halacha l'maisa, you are not allowed to put the bandage back on Shabbos. And we'll say, now what's the logic there? Agabi karka, kilachatchila dami. Because we'll say, this is very interesting. What does everyone agree with? Everyone agrees that you can't l'chatchila put on a bandage on Shabbos. Right? That's what everybody's agreeing with right now. Their machlokes is, if you had a bandage on before Shabbos, and then it falls off, can you put it back on? So the Tanna Kamma says yes. Remember, Rabbi Huda says no. Rabbi Huda says if the bandage falls off, you can't put it back on Shabbos. The only thing you can do is if it moves, you could readjust it. Tanna Kamma holds, even if the bandage falls off, you're allowed to go ahead and put it back on Shabbos. So now Rav Chisda comes along and qualifies that. When is that true? Only if the bandage fell onto a kli. But if the bandage fell onto the ground, even the Tanna Kamma would agree you can't put it back. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because once it's on the ground, you know what? It's like, it's almost as if your body has lost its relationship with that bandage. So that were you to put it back on again, that would be the equivalent of what? Of what? Putting a bandage on for the first time again, which even the Tanna Kamma agrees is aser. Amar Mar Baravashi. So Amar Baravashi. Have a kaimno kamei abo, nof lole abisadja. The Gemara says as follows. So Amar Baravashi says, I was in front of Abba, and what happened? He had a bandage on. His bandage fell off. The kamahader, and he put it back on. So the Gemara says, Rashi points out, abisadja is naf lo alakar shimrosha. So apparently he had a bandage on his head. The bandage fell off his head and fell onto the pillow. Okay, the kamahader, and he put the bandage back on. So the Gemara says, Amin Alei, I said to him, Lo savar lamar, lo hodam Rav Chisda machlokes shepir shagabe kli, al pir shagabe karka aser. So I said to him, I said, Abba, aren't you aware that that's a machlokes? Right? You both say, remember again, according to this approach, everyone is agreeing that Allah Alamaisa, if the bandage falls off and falls onto the ground, ultimately, again, you can't put it back on. The machlokes case is where halacha lemaisa again it fell onto a kli. So in that case, again, the Tanna Kamma will say you could put it back on. Rabbi Huda will say you can't put it back on. So aren't you aware that what you just did is subject of machlokes? Va'amr Shmuel, and Shmuel said halacha Rabbi Huda, and Shmuel said halacha falls Rabbi Huda, which means what Rabbi say? The halacha lemaisa, if the bandage falls off, whether it falls on the ground, falls onto a kli, you can't put it back on. So Abba, how are you putting the bandage back on? Amarli, and he said to me, Lo Shmieli, I never heard that halacha. And the Gemara says what he really meant was Kilomar Lo Sfirli. No, he heard the halacha. What he was saying was what? I don't hold that way. Okay, so we'll say so halacha lemaisa. So what do we do over here? So we'll say this is very interesting. So the Mishnah Berurah comments on this. This is in Shin Chav Ches Sif Chav Hey. So Shin Chav Ches, I'm sorry. Should have had this prepared. My apologies. Okay, so here's the halacha Rabbi Osai. So says Mak no Sif Chapei. I'm sorry. So here it is. Retia shenafla me al gabi hamak al gabi karka lo yachzirena al gabi kli yachzirena. So we'll say here's the halacha. So at the end of the day, so it seems to be that the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, not seems Shulchan Aruch Paskins. Like Rav Chisda's qualification of the Tanna Kamma, namely, if you have a bandage on your wound from before Shabbos, so what's the halacha? If the bandage falls out, bandage falls off, if it falls onto the karka, right? If it falls ultimately onto the ground, you can't put it back on. But if it falls onto a kli, you are permitted to go to put it back on. And the Mishnah Berurah comments over here. He says, what's the concern? Shema yimareach al gaba lahachlik gumos shiyishba. To be clear, this is talking about over here a bandage that was already on before Shabbos. So if the bandage was already on before Shabbos, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, if it falls off, if it falls onto the ground, you may not put it back, but if it falls onto a kli, halacha lemaisa, you may return it back onto the wound. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah, Shulchan Aruch goes on, he has other discussions, rather, also about, you know, asking an Eina Yehudi to do it, the Nachri to do it, but again, at least for the, right now, we don't have to get into all this, but right now, just know, the halacha follows The halacha follows, not Rabbi Yehuda, but the halacha follows the Tanakhama, that if the bandage, again, the halacha does follow Rabbi Yehuda, and the obvious Rabbi will say, if the bandage moves, of course you could readjust it. That goes without saying. But halacha l'maisa, that we follow the Tanakhama, that if it falls off, you could return it, provided that it fell off onto a kli, but not onto the karka. Good. Rabbi will say, with that, let us continue. Another really fascinating case. Next. Kosher name of a mikdash of Allah b'medina. The Rabbi say the halacha is, if you look at Rashi for just a moment, kosher name, it's Rashi in the Mishnah, it's about seven lines up from the bottom. Kosher name, Rashi says, Neimas kinor shalavim. So this is what we're talking about over here. We're talking about remember, they had in the Beis HaMikdash, and as an accompaniment to the Karbanos, they had Shira. But not just Shira, it wasn't just song, but they had instruments. You know, we'll say for us, the concept of instruments as part of tefillah sounds something that is part of other streams of Judaism, doesn't, but understand something amazing, which is that Shira was an integral part of Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, to the point that the Rambam discusses that if one goes ahead and offers up karbanos without accompanying Shira, that the karban may be invalid. So just so you understand, it's an interesting discussion in general about the role that music played in the Beis HaMikdash. It's really an incredible, incredible idea. We've come so far from that. You know, sometimes one of the challenges with davening is, you know, if we only had more time for more Shira, right? How much more impactful davening could be. But okay, in any event, kosher name, let's look at Rashi. Neimas kinor shalavim. So we'll say if you have the kinor, right? The harp of the levim. So shal shalavim the karban. Im nifzika b'shabbos. We'll say now watch what happened. One of the strings of one of the stringed instruments breaks on Shabbos. Here's the case. So the case over here is kosher name of Mikdash. If one of the strings of the stringed instrument breaks on Shabbos, you could repair the strings in the Beis HaMikdash. Suppose say, now remember, how do you repair a string? How do you repair a string? So bipashtos, we're going to see that what's happening over here is you're tying a knot. You're tying a knot. Now, Bosai, understand, kshira, kosher, is one of the avos malachos, right? So tying a knot on Shabbos is one of the 39 categories of prohibited malacha. Now, again, what we're going to see, I will say, this is interesting because up until now, we've been speaking about the concept of ein shavus b'mikdash, that there are no drabanas in the mikdash. But I will say the truth is, what we also know is, that certain da'araisas are set aside in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos as well. For example, the paradigmatic example, Shechita. Right? Shechita is one of the avos malachos, yet we offer up kabanos. So what we're going to see is, the Rabbi will say, that things that have to do with the sacrificial order are going to be permitted on Shabbos, even if they sometimes require a malacha d'oraisa. So in any event, if the string breaks, you're allowed to go ahead and tie it in the mikdash, avalo b'medina. But obviously you can't do this outside of the Beis HaMikdash. You can't tie a knot outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'im b'tchila, but Rabbi will say, let's say the Levim just got a brand new instrument, a brand new harp, and they forgot to string it. I don't know if that's the right verb for this. But they forgot to string it. You can't go ahead and tie the strings l'chatchil. In other words, you can't go ahead and set up a new instrument on Shabbos that was never strung or stringed beforehand. Good. Says the Gemara. Let's understand. The Gemara says, V'neima, or minhu, sorry, neimas kinor shenifseka. But say if you have ultimately the string of a kinor of a harp that broke, lo haya kosher ela onva, you wouldn't knot it, rather you would go ahead and tie it in a bow. So the Rabbi say here, it's interesting, the Mishnah seems to indicate that you could tie it in a knot, yet the Braisa indicates that no, you can't tie a knot. The most you could do is what? The most you could do is tie a bow. So which one is it? Now both say, understand, a bow, what's a bow? A bow is a drabanan. A bow is a drabanan. So which one is it? Am I allowed to tie the actual knot or just the bow? Lokashi harabanan harabi Eliezer. Both say two different opinions. One is drabanan, one is rabbi Eliezer. How so? So both say this is really this gemara is so chock full of incredible machloksim. So both say this is drabanan and rabbi Eliezer in for bris mila legabe Shabbos. Now both say now understand what's happening over here. So this was a machlokes regarding machshire mila. We actually discussed this in Erevin as well, which is everyone agrees that halacha lemaisa you could do a bris mila on Shabbos. Everyone agrees, even though again a bris mila itself involves malachos daraisa, right? What's the malacha? It's also shechita. Because anytime you draw blood, that's part of the malacha of shechita. So therefore, we'll say, but the shaila is, what about machshire mila? Tachshirei Mila. So Allah Kalamai, so what about the preparatory activities which allow you to engage in Mila but are not circumcision itself? Going ahead and, you know, boiling hot water for the baby. Or going ahead and, in a dramatic case, I don't have a knife. So now I need to go ahead and chop down wood, make a fire, and forge a knife. So Rabbi Eliezer holds that Machshirei Mila are mutter. The Rabbanon hold that it's Mila that's mutter, but not Machshirei. Switch the Gemara, said, listen to this. So look, Kasha Rabban Rabbi Eliezer. So we'll say, listen to this. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Karban Sibor Hava Mitzvah, Adochas HaShabbos, V'shir, Hayu Machshir in Didei. So we'll say, listen to this. Shir, or right, Shiras Leviim, is Machshirei Mitzvah. So Rabbi Eliezer, who allows you to engage in Machshirei Mila, will also allow you to go ahead and tie a knot in the Levitic instrument because he holds Machshirei Mitzvah are mutter. The Rabbanon who say that no, Machshirim aren't Doche Shabbos, the Mitzvah is Doche Shabbos, will agree over here that, yeah, you could fix the instrument, but you can't tie a knot. The most you could do is what? Tie a bow. So the Gemara says, and therefore that's the reconciliation of the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Gemara says, if that's the case, Rabbi Eliezer da Machshir Mitzvah Doche Shabbos Kosher. According to Rabbi Eliezer, holds that Machshir Mitzvah Doche Shabbos, you could tie a knot in the Levitic instrument. The Rabbanon da Amri ain Dochin Onva. And according to the Rabbanon, they say Machshirei Mitzvah, preparatory activities so the Mitzvah are not Doche Shabbos, you can't tie a knot. Rather, the most you could do is tie a bow. E Rabbi Eliezer, so Rabbi will say, if the case, if that's Rabbi Eliezer, afil lechatchila nami, so Rabbi will say, if that's the case, then Rabbi Eliezer holds Machshirei Mitzvah Ardocha Shabbos, then Rabbi will say, you should be able to string the instrument even lechatchila on Shabbos. Right? I got myself a brand new harp, right? I'm a Levi, I got a brand new harp, didn't have a chance to get it set up before Shabbos. Why can't I tie that lechatchila on Shabbos? That's Machshirei Mitzvah Ardocha Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Elo lo kasha, how do we reconcile the... I don't understand what we're trying to do over here. We're trying to reconcile the Braisa and the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells me that if the string rips, I can knot it. The Braisa tells me if the string rips, I could bow it. So we're trying to reconcile that. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Elo kasha, ha Rabbi Huda ha Rabbana. This is incredible. So I said, listen to this. The machlokes, or the, it really reflects two different opinions. Rabbi Huda and the Rabbana. Now, what's this Rabbi Huda? Look at Rashi. Rabbi Huda, the Amar Aniva Av Malacha. Oh, Rabbi Huda, listen to this. Achilik bin Aniva Lakshira, v'kinchilik bin Aniva Lakshira, v'kosher kasavar, machshirei mitzvah dochen. So let's listen to this. The machlokes is Rabbi Huda and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Huda said, the machlokes is tying a bow part of the Isser of Kshira or not. Everyone agrees tying a knot is tying a bow in Isra of Kshira, to which the Gemara says, so two different opinions. So we'll say the opinion in the Mishnah that says that you can go ahead and tie a knot, that's Rabbi Yehuda who holds that there's no distinction between a knot and a bow, versus the Braisa that says you should tie a bow, is the Rabbanon who say that a knot is the Raisa, bow is the Rabbanon. To which the Gemara says, well, let's analyze this. Rabbi Yehuda Liba Deman. We'll say, who does Rabbi Yehuda hold in terms of Machshirei Mitzvah, top of Kuf Gimel? E Aliba Rabbi Eliezer Ka'amar, if Rabbi Huda holds like Rabbi Eliezer, that Machshirei Mitzvah Ardocha Shabbos, Afil Lechatchila Nami. Then Rabbi said, then Halacha Lamaisa. Again, if Rabbi say, once you hold Machshirei Mitzvah Ardocha Shabbos, then you could tie a knot in an instrument, even if Halacha Lamaisa, you never had it done before Shabbos, even if you're doing it for the first time on Shabbos, because Machshirei Mitzvah Ardocha Shabbos, Elolo Kashya, rather Rabbi say, you're right. Here's how we have to reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa. Ha Rabbi Shimon, Ha Rabbanon. Both say two different opinions, Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon. What's the case? Here we go. Disanyo, Ben Levi, Shinif Sakalim, Nema, Bikinor. Both say, if you have a Ben Levi, and ultimately again, a string, you know, of his stringed instrument snapped on Shabbos, Rabbi Shimon Omer Onva. Rabbi Shimon says, you bow it. Tie a bow, you can't tie a knot. That's us on Shabbos, but you could tie a bow. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, af hi eina mashmas esakol. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, here's the problem, Bo saying. You know, in order for a string instrument to work, it's not enough for it to be tied, but it has to be tied in a certain way. If you bow the string, again, I apologize for my English, right? If you tie a bow in the string, it's not going to produce proper sound. So therefore, rather, Ella, mishalshal milamata, mishalshal milamata, v'korich milamalo, O Mishalshal Milamalo, the Korich Milamata. So we'll say this is very interesting. So remember, on a stringed instrument, the way the Rakabo says you'd have the string, but on the top and the bottom, you'd have essentially like pegs. That's what you would wrap the string around. Now, around each of the pegs, there's always additional string. So there's another way to repair a broken string, which is how? Take the excess string that's tied around the top, unravel it, and go ahead and retie it. You could do that from top to bottom or bottom to top. Obviously, the other possibility is both the price and the Mishnah could reflect the view of the Rabbanon. And there's no contradiction. Kan be'emtza, kan minatzad. Obviously, this is very interesting. It depends where the string breaks. If the string breaks in the middle, even the Rabbanon would agree that halacha lemaisa, you have to knot it. Because making a bow in the middle of the string will not produce proper sound. Masha'inkin, when the string breaks towards the top or the bottom, there you can bow it, and the sound will not be impacted. V'ibayzema, hava hava emtza. It could very well be that halacha lemaisa, both cases, the Braisa and the Mishnah, are both talking about a case where the string broke in the middle, and therefore you're repairing it with a knot. Mar savar gazunan, mar savar lo gazunan. Perhaps the machlokes is, are we concerned that if we allow you to tie with a knot in the middle of the string, you'll come to tie a knot on the side of the string or on the top or the bottom of the string as well, where everyone agrees, halacha l'maaseh, so you're not allowed to do so. So therefore, we'll say, this is the machlokes. I have a Mishnah that tells me that if the string snaps on Shabbos, I can go ahead and repair it. And bepashtos, koshen avosah, means I can make a knot. I have a braisa that says I can only make a bow. And the Gemara tries to go ahead and resolve this particular machlokas. So how do we paskin over here? This is actually very interesting. So the Rambam says in Hilchos Shabbos, Mutter likshar kesher shal kayama, Mutter likshar kesher she'inu shal kayama lidvar mitzvah. So the Rambam writes, you are allowed to tie an impermanent knot, for the purposes of a mitzvah on Shabbos. Kigon, he gives an example. Kigon sheyikshar limdod shiur mishiuri haTorah. Okay, so he gives an example. Let's say if you want to, I guess, create some type of rudimentary measuring utensil through tying of knots for the purpose of a mitzvah. Neimas kinor shenif. Kabbalah says, I want to focus on. Because remember, I will say, anything to do with the Beis HaMikdash, you are not going to find in the Shulchan Aruch, right? The Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about the Beis HaMikdash. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Shulchan Aruch talks about Beis HaMikdash when it talks about Zeicha L'Churban, right? At the end of Aruch Chaim. What practices that we engage in for the purpose of remembering the Beis HaMikdash, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about Beis HaMikdash practice. If you want to find Beis HaMikdash practice, you have to go to the Rambam. So here the Rambam talks about Neimas Kinor Shenifsika. So we'll say, so what would happen? We'll say, it's a fascinating case, right? The Levi has a harp. They did do Shira, right? They're supposed to say there was Shira on Shabbos. Shira accompanied the Karban. So what happens if a string of the lady's harp snapped on Shabbos? Koshrin osa b'mikdash, aval lo b'medina. Ultimately, again, they would retie it in the Beis HaMikdash, but not that side of the Beis HaMikdash. V'lo neima, v'lo yikshar neima l'chatchil afilu b'mikdash. But halacha l'maisa, you cannot tie a knot, right outside, but you can't tie an instrument lechatchila on Shabbos. Shavosei means you're allowed to if you have a harp, if you have a string instrument, and the string snapped on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash, you could repair it. But you cannot go ahead and string an instrument lechatchila on Shabbos itself. Now I'll tell you something very interesting here in this Rambam. So the Lechem Mishnah brings up, we're gonna leave this. I don't know, we don't have time for this. This happens to spark an incredibly fascinating conversation, just in general about the role of Shira in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. But again, halacha lemaaseh, we'll say the way the Rambam paskins is that if the string snaps, you are in fact permitted to go ahead and retie it on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash, but not outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Good. Mishnah. Chotchin Yabelas Mikdash. We'll say next case. Really fascinating. So the halacha is, you could go ahead, we'll say, and that literally means you. Yabelas is a wart. You could cut off a wart in the Beis HaMikdash, aval lo b'medina, but not outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say, so what is this talking about? Look at Rashi. Chotchin Yabelas, first Rashi is biyad. Now we'll say, cutting off over here means with your hands. So we'll say what you could do is you could rip off a wart on Shabbos. Now, what is this talking about? Rashi points out this is talking about an animal. We'll say if there's a carbon that is going to be brought on Shabbos, and this is the animal you have for sacrificial purposes. Remember, I want to be clear. Individuals can't bring a carbon on Shabbos, but you offer up a tamid shel shachar, a tamid shel bein arba'im, and remember, morning communal offering, afternoon communal offering, and on Shabbos, you also offer up what? A carbon musaf. So let's say again, halacha lemaaseh, the animal has a wart. Now the presence of a wart is a mum. Now, the good news is that once you take off the wart, the animal is totally fit for sacrificial use. So what can you do on Shabbos? You can go ahead and remove the wart with your hands on Shabbos. Only in the Beis HaMikdash, but not in Medina, not outside of the Beis HaMikdash, ve'im b'kli, and if you use a utensil, kan v'kan aser. Ultimately, again, the use of a utensil is going to be aser, both in the Beis HaMikdash as well as in outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say, take a look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says, ve'im b'kli kan v'kan aser, first wide line of Rashi, va'afal gav d'chi avid nami, biyad, metakenu, v'habile chotech mi'bali chayim, v'havitolda d'gozes es hatsemer. Oh, so we'll say, so what exactly is the problem with lopping off a wart of an animal on Shabbos? What's the issue over here? Rashi says, fascinatingly enough, it's gozes. We'll say gozes is the malacha of shearing, right? Shearing wool. But apparently, again, the extension of that is removing anything from the body of the animal, ultimately, again, is problematic on Shabbos. So Rashi says over here, Havitolda de Gozes. This is an offshoot of the Malacha of Gozes. Afiluhachi kevan de kila achar yad ka'avid, she'in derech lechotcha ela besakin in kan ela shvus. But also remember again, you're doing this in an abnormal way, right? The normal way you would go ahead and remove a wart is with a knife. Here you're doing it in an abnormal fashion. So because it's abnormal, it's only a din dirabanan. Well, once we get to dirabanan, what's the halacha? Ein shavus b'mikdash. There are no dirabanans which apply inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, Rabbi say, halacha l'maisa, you could remove the wart with your hands on Shabbos in the Mikdash, but not outside of the Mikdash. But with a kli, it's going to be aser. Good, says the Gemara, let's analyze. Or minu. So we'll say this is fascinating. So the Gemara raises a kasha from a brisa that talks about Karban Pesach. Here kivu v'ava asa michutz l'tchum. We'll say to carry your paschal lamb. So to carry your Karban Pesach, or to bring it from outside of the tchum, or v'chatichas yavalaso, or to go ahead and cut off the wart of your Karban Pesach, ein dochin. Rebbe say, these actions are not doche Shabbos. So this is not a case where Pesach falls on Shabbos. Rebbe say, or I should say better stated, when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos. When Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, we shecht Karban Pesach on Shabbos as well. But what the Gemara is saying over here is, however, halach alamai say, carrying your Karban Pesach, let's say in Rosh Sarabim, or bringing it from outside of the tchum, or cutting off its wart, is not Doche Shabbos. Now, both say, we're all about the warts. Right? So, both say, so now again, we have a contradiction. The Mishnah told me that halacha lamaisa, I can go ahead and remove the warts on Shabbos. And yet, again, halacha lamaisa, the Braisa says, I can't remove the warts on Shabbos. So, what's going on over here? Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Dochen. So, Rabbi Eliezer ultimately said, no, these items are Doche Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi, Ben Chanina, Chad Amar, Hava Habalacha, Velo Kashya, Kan Biat, Kan Bekli. So, we'll say to which the Gemara says it's not a contradiction. It could be that both are talking about, so we'll see a distinction between a moist wart versus a dried up wart. So, we'll say if it's moist, so therefore, even if it's moist, then Halacha Lamaisa, the Gemara says, still not a contradiction. Both the Brice and the Mishnah could be talking about that, but rather, again, one is talking about where you're doing it by hand, one is talking about where you're doing it by kli. The Mishnah, which allows you to remove it, is talking about where you're doing it by hand. The Brice, which says that it's usr, ultimately, again, is talking about where you're doing it with a kli. The Chadam, or other opinions said, Haba Habiyad, both are talking about where you're removing it by hand. The Lokash. So we'll say, again, Rabbi, very simple. We're just trying to reconcile the Braisa with the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, I can remove the wart by hand on Shabbos from the Karban. The Braisa said, I can't remove the wart on Shabbos from the Karban Pesach. So we're just trying to reconcile. So the Gemara says, so, or Haba Habiyad, could be that both cases are talking about where you're removing it by hand. But Lokash, Havalachavan. Ulamando Amar Habiyad Habikli. Well, say, according to the opinion, they said one case is talking about removing it by hand. That's the Mishnah versus the Braisa. So, which is talking about you're moving it with a kli, and therefore it's aser. My taima lo amar la habalacha habivesha. Why do you set it up as the one case talking about biyad, the Mishnah biyad, and the Braisa b'kli? Why don't you just as easily set it up balacha biyavesha? The rabbis say, now what's the maila of the dried wart versus the moist wart? The assumption is that the dried wart kind of just crumbles. So the rabbis say, it's not really called the bona fide. Remember again, we're talking the issue with wart removal on Shabbos is gozes, right? Is shearing. But if something is dried up already, to a certain degree, one could view it halachically as if it's already removed from the body. So therefore, halacha l'maisa, why not set it up like that? Wow. Because we'll say that opinion, we'll say, no. If the wort is dried up, you can even remove it with a utensil. Why is that? My taima. If ruchi ifracha, we'll say it literally means it crumbles. It crumbles. That once it's dried up already, the removal of it, even with a utensil, is not called gozes. Ulaman damar habalacha abi yevesha. My time alo amar habi yad habikli. And what's according to the opinion who says one case is talking about the moist wart and one is with the dried up one. My time, why does he not set it up as one case dealing with yad, one case dealing with kli? In other words, both say, just set up the Mishnah is talking about removing it by hand and the Brisa that says that it's us removing it with a kli. Amar lecha bikli hatnan im bikli kan vekan asr. Because we'll say, alocha lemaisa, there's another Mishnah that remember again, the Mishnah, our Mishnah tells us, im bikli, if you're going to go ahead and remove it with a kli, then what? And halacha lemaisa, in all cases, it's going to be asr. V'idach, hadik tani hasam mishum de kaboy yiflugi rabbi Eliezer v'rabbanon. And I will say, again, the other opinion will say, no, the only reason that was mentioned was in order to set up the machlokes over there, as in the rabbanon. V'idach, Dumya deher kivo vahava asa michutz letchum katani. So the Rabbanon, and I will say the other opinion will say no, because the Bryce says talking about when it talks about going ahead and carrying it on your shoulders and carrying it from without the tchum, it's only setting it up as an iser de Rabbanon. The idach, one more piece, the idach her kivo lo krabi nasan. The case of carrying your Korban Pesach on Shabbos must not be in alignment with the position of Rabbi Nosson. Why? What does Rabbi Nosson say? The Amar Hachai Nose Es Atzmo. Because what's according to Rabbi Nosson, ultimately, again, carrying a living animal, even Dalet Ames, in Rosh Sarabim, is not going to be an Isra Doraisa. Why? Because Chai Nose Es Atzmo, living things carry themselves. The Gemara says, furthermore, Hava also michutz the tchum and bring it from outside of the tchum must be like what Rabbi Akiva da Amar tchum in doraisa. So therefore, Rabbi say that case of the brayso of a Korban Pesach we're dealing with doraisas. If you hold like Rabbi Akiva, that tchum is doraisa, and if you don't hold like Rabbi Nosson, then chay no seyes atzmo. Then carry your Korban Pesach dalet ames in Rosh Sarabim, or carrying it outside of the tchum could be an issur doraisa. Fine. So we'll say so. We still don't have proper resolution on the Mishnah and the brayso. But here's what I know. The Mishnah allows wort removal from the animal on Shabbos by hand. The Braisa seems to aser wort removal altogether. So Masiv Rav Yosef, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Kavachomer. So let's listen to this. Rabbi Eliezer says, I don't understand. The ability to remove a wort should be mutter based on a Kavachomer. What's the Kavachomer? Umashchita shehi mishum malacha doches haShabbos. So we'll say, if shchita is a malacha, Shechita is a malacha, right? A malacha d'oraisa. Yet, Shechita is docha Shabbos. Elu shemishum shavus. Ein of din shidchus haShabbos. We'll say again. Halacha, which is, but it's a pretty powerful argument. If halacha l'maisa Shechita is mutter, then what Jabo say? Wort removal, at least for sure, biyad, right? At least with your hand, should be totally mutter. Should be totally mutter because it's a shavus. It's a dirabanan. That should certainly be docha Shabbos. Elu amrav Yosef. Hava habiyad. So the Rabbi Yosef says, you're right. Both the Mishnah and the Braisa are talking about where you're removing the wort by hand. Aye, but the Mishnah said it's mutter. The Braisa said it's aser. To which the Gemara says, Ushvus mikhir. This is incredible. Ushvus, I promise you an incredible daf, and I'm delivering. Ushvus mikdash be mikdash hetiru. Shvus de mikdash be medina lo hetiru. Wow. I'm supposed to say, listen to this. Listen to this formulation. Right, shvus mikdash b'mikdash hetiru. So we'll say, what does that mean? When something is asr al shvus, shvus means asr d'rabbanan. So we'll say, so an isr d'rabbanan are suspended for sacrificial service, provided that the sacrificial service is happening where? Inside of the Beis HaMikdash. But a shvus d'rabbanan is not suspended for sacrificial service, which happens outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi, you'll say to yourself, sacrificial service which occurs outside of the Beis HaMikdash, what are you talking about? Oh, Rabbi, there's only really one case where that happens, which is where? Korban Pesach. Because Rabbi, remember again, the majority of preparation of Korban Pesach takes place outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So this is incredible. So now the Mishnah and the Braisa are not really contradicting each other. There is no problem with wort removal on Shabbos from a Korban, biyad. To be clear, it's biyad, right? It's with your hands. It's with your hands, not with the kli. Kli is going to be asar. But with your hands, why with your hand? Why is your hands mutter? Why is that mutter? I'll say, why? Why? Derabbanan. It's a shavus. So again, shavus, shavusin, derabbanans are suspended in the mikdash when it comes to temple service. However, the breisa, which says that you cannot remove the wort from your carbon pesach, why not, Rav Osai? Why not? Because that will be the performance of a shavus adirabana, because you're taking it off by hand, right? Outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And even though it's for a sacrificial animal, halacha lemaisa, the license to dispense with a shavus on Shabbos for sacrificial purposes is only in the Beis HaMikdash itself. So even if you're doing it for a sacrificial animal, but it's outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it's not mutter. Incredible. Incredible. So the Gemara says, Yosef Abai v'karmel ha-shmaisa. So Abai was very taken by this. He was telling it over. And he says, Isvei Rav Safra l'Abai. So both say, Abai said it over. And Rav Safra said, I don't think that's true. After all, Hayakori b'sefer ala sikufa. Both say, remember this case. Remember, we just had it a couple of days ago. I'm sitting reading my sefer, right? Which is, remember, I will say the imagery is I'm reading a scroll. And what happens? I lose my grip on one of the handles of the scroll. As a result, the scroll rolls out of my hand. Now remember, I'm holding onto one handle still, but the scroll unrolls and rolls into Rosh Sarabim. What's the halacha? V'niskagel sefer miyado. Go lo etzlo. You're allowed to roll it back. Now I will say, understand. You're v'ha halacha. So we'll say, remember again, so what's happening over here? You're allowed to roll it back. Now we'll say, there's an Isha Drabbanan involved over here, right? What's the Isha Drabbanan? Ideally, right, in a perfect world, Chazal would say, we don't want rolling it back. What are we concerned about? What are we concerned about? You may lose your grip on the other handle. The whole scroll may roll into Rosh Sarabim and you may come to retrieve it. Yet remember again, Chazal said you could roll it back. Why? Because they suspended their shavus in the case of Kisvei Kodesh, in the case of holy writings, because again, there was a lack of kavod to Kisvei Kodesh, therefore we had to roll it back. We had to roll it back. So I'll say, there's an example. So what the Gemara's doing over here is equating Kisvei Kodesh with Karbanos. And essentially what it's saying is, you see that we are suspending a derabanan for the sake of a holy purpose. In this case, to allow you to roll back the scroll. Well, if that's the case, so then we see that we can suspend derabanans for holy purposes, even outside of the Beis HaMikdash. If that's the case, then what? It should be no problem to remove the wort from the paschal lamb, from the carbon, the kesach, right? Even if you're outside of the Beis HaMikdash. To which the Gemara says, come on. The Gemara says, after all, v'lavo kimna b'skuva kamas, v'shurab ma'veres tefanel. Kevan da'agidu b'yada afilu shvus namileka. No. Remember, let's say, how do we set up that case? That the isekufa, right, the front porch in that case, was a karmelis. So I'll say what we're doing over here is really, again, you have a karmelis abutting a Rosh Sarabim, which in reality, Rabbi Osai, you can't come to an Isra D'Oraisa in that case. There is no Isra D'Oraisa. Because even if you were to lose the scroll in its entirety, you know, to roll into Rosh Sarabim, then you were to bring it back into your front porch, there's no Isra D'Oraisa. There's only at most, an Isra D'Rabbanan. That's why that case is mutter. But in general, our principle is true, that the suspension of Shavusin, of Dinei D'Rabbanan, ultimately, again, for sacrificial purposes, is only for sacrificial purposes happening within the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. Eisveh, so another kasha. Mishal shlena sapesach l'tanurim chashecha. Well, listen to this. You could lower your carbon Pesach into the oven right with nightfall. Now, both say, this is talking about when Pesach itself, this is the case where Erev Pesach Erev Pesach was Erev Shabbos, and now Pesach is going to be Shabbos itself. So you're going to be eating your Karban Pesach on Shabbos. So the halacha is you're allowed to lower the Karban Pesach onto the coals, right with the entry of Shabbos. Now, Bosai, what that means is, now, again, we're not going to get into this now. We saw this in Masechah Shabbos. Now, Bosai, the halacha is you can't leave food on a fire unless it's at least one-third cooked at the onset of Shabbos. Out of a concern of what? Shemichata. You may come to stoke the coals. That's an Isra D'Rabbanan. Yet we see that you're allowed to go ahead and you're allowed to put your Korban Pesach up on the fire before Shabbos, even though it's not one-third cooked. What do you see from here? You see from here that we do dispense with Dinei D'Rabbanan for sacrificial purposes, even outside of the Beis HaMikdash. V'ha'ha'cha, d'shvus d'mikdash b'medina v'lo gazvina shamichata v'gicholim. Yet also you see from here that what? We light with the Korban Pesach on the fire, so that's a shvus d'mikdash, it's a Din D'Rabbanan, that in this case again is governing sacrificial items, and we dispense with it, even outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Ishtik. He was silent. Good refutation. Kiyosla kamid Rav Yosef. When he came before Rav Yosef, Amrle, Hachi, Amrle, Rav Safra, Amrle, I'm sorry, Hacha, Amrle, Rav Safra, Amrle, my taima, lo tishani le, why don't you answer the following? It's different by Karban Pesach, why? B'nei chaburas reason hein. See, Rabbosai, when is there a concern, ultimately, again, of Shema Yechata, that you may come to stoke the coals, and therefore you can't leave food on the fire going into Shabbos unless it's one-third cooked? It's just me and my family, I may come to inadvertently stoke the coals. Karban Pesach is eaten with a chabura, it's eaten with a group. See, even if you go ahead and you extend your hand to try to go ahead and stoke the coals, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Someone's going to yell at you. Right? You understand. Someone's going to kindly point out to you that perhaps what you are doing is halachically incorrect. Right? So therefore, again, that's b'nei chabura's reason, hein. So the Gemara says, v'abaye kohanim's reason, and amrino b'nei chabura's reason, and amrino. So Abaye will say, no. We say kohanim's reason, but we don't automatically assume that b'nei chabura's reason. So the Gemara says, Rava Amar, Rabbi Eliezer, Amar, Machshirei Mitzvah Dochenes HaShabbos. So we'll say ultimately again, so comes along Rava, and Rava says that if you look at the last two lines of Rashi, Bahadik Tanim Masnisim, the Bekli Aser, Mod Rabbi Eliezer, the Kamad Efsher, Lishnei Mishnei. Listen to this. So now Rava comes along and says that really all of this reflects the view of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer holds that Machshirei Mitzvah are Dochenes HaShabbos. So we'll say this is a general klal. That Rabbi Eliezer Paskins, remember, we'll say this is Rabbi Eliezer by Mila. Right? That's where he first fought. What we call Rabbi Eliezer de Mila. And what does Rabbi Eliezer de Mila hold? That not only is Bris Mila Docha Shabbos, but any preparatory activities you need to do in order to go ahead and perform the Mila are also Docha Shabbos. We'll say to the point, remember again, that we just said before, to the point that what? I don't have a knife. So Rabbi Eliezer says, that what can you do? You could cut down trees, you could make a fire, you could forge iron to make a knife for Bris Mila. So therefore, I will say, Rabbi Eliezer would certainly hold that halacha l'maisa, you can go ahead and cut off the wart. Now if it's Rabbi Eliezer, he would hold that not only can you cut off the wart, but how can you cut off the wart? Even what? What? Even with a kli, even with the utensil. Because Rabbi Eliezer holds that again, machshirei mitzvah dochen Shabbos. Aye, so one second. If the Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer, then why does the Mishnah say you can only do this biyad and not bekli? Oh, listen to this. Umod Rabbi Eliezer, dekamo de'efshel l'shenoy mishaninan. Because we'll see, even Rabbi Eliezer agrees that just because something is technically mutter doesn't mean you should do it. In other words, we're both saying that while it's true that on a technical level, you could remove the wart even with a kli on Shabbos. But if you don't have to use a kli and you could use your hand, that is certainly better to do so. So the Gemara says, Mahi, where do we see this in Rabbi Eliezer? We'll say, here we see. Kohen sha'alsa bo yabelas. We'll say, listen to this. A Kohen who now has a wart. So remember again, what's the issue with a Kohen having a wart? Is a wart is a mum, which means that as long as the Kohen has the wart, he cannot do the avoda. So what happens? Chaveiro chot cholo b'shinov. So his friend could bite off the warts for him. That's a chaver. Right? That's mamish. That's a friend. That's a keeper. Right? So listen to this. So therefore, the Gemara says over here that halacha l'maisa, Halacha l'maisa, his friend could bite off the wart for him. So the Gemara says, he says, Bishinov in, Bechli lo. Now, interestingly enough, what do you mean, why bite it off? In other words, why are you bringing up biting it off? Why can't he cut it off? So the Gemara says, Bishinov in, Bechli lo. Chabero in, Ihu lo. Furthermore, let the coin bite off his own wart. Right? Why does he have to go ahead and have his friend bite off his wart? So there are two kashas. Number one, why does it have to be done with teeth as opposed to a kli? Number two, why does the friend have to do it and why can't the kohen himself do it? To which the Gemara says, Ilema Rabbanon ubemikdosh. So I'll say, if you want to say he's talking of, it's reflecting the view of the Rabbanon. And ultimately, again, this is taking place in the Beis HaMikdosh. Kevan Rabbanon ba'al mishum shvus, hacha malihu mali chavero. So I'll say, so again, if it, maybe you want to say it's the Rabbanon. Remember again, the Rabbanon do not allow wart removal with a kli on Shabbos. They hold that would really be an Isra D'oraisa. So fine. So I understand why it can't be b'kli. But ultimately, again, why does it have to be the Kohen's friend and not the Kohen himself? Elolav Rabbi Eliezer. Da'amar ba'alma chayiv chatos. So we'll say, really, it would be Rabbi Eliezer. And remember, again, under normal circumstances, wart removal with a kli, ultimately, again, would be a chayiv chatos. Remember again, yet Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that machshirei mitzvah are docha Shabbos, and therefore what? And therefore halacha lemaisa, you are able to remove the wart on Shabbos even with a kli. So why does Rabbi Eliezer say that it has to be done in this case with his teeth or with his hand? Why? Because what Rabbi Eliezer holds that even though on a technical level the wart can be removed, even with technically a kli on Shabbos, would agree that halacha lemaisa, to whatever degree you could go ahead and be mishana. Which is it's a very intuitive shita. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. So just because Rabbi Eliezer says that technically speaking, wart removal is docha Shabbos, because he holds machshirei mitzvah are dochen Shabbos, even Rabbi Eliezer would agree, if you could do it to the shinui, right? That's interesting. If you could do it with the shinui, then of course better to do it with the shinui. To which the Gemara says, no, that's not the case. Lo olam rabbanon. It could very well reflect the view of the rabbanon. Now, also remember again, if it's the rabbanon, so one part makes sense, but one part is still problematic. If it's the rabbanon, which part makes sense? That he's removing it with his teeth or with his hand, right? That part makes sense. Not the kli, because according to the rabbanon, wart removal with the kli is going to be an isdoraisa. However, again, the problem according to Rabbanon Rabbah says, why does the Kohen's friend have to do it? Why can't the Kohen do it himself? To which Gemara says, you're right. E also bekreso hachinami. So if the wart was on his stomach, and hachinami, the Kohen could bite it off himself. Or as well say, so in other words, what does it mean? If the wart was accessible to the Kohen, he could bite off his own wart. To which the Gemara says, you know, what's the case? Kigon sha'olsalo neshicha begabo uba'atsiliyad. They both say, what's the case? The case is where the wart was on his back or on his elbows. So we'll say the idea being, the only reason it brings up his friend is not because there is some inyan to have your friend bite off your warts, but rather, again, this was a practical issue over here, that halacha lemaisa, the Kohen can't reach it. So because he can't reach it, that's why he gets his chaver involved. Good. Di'ihu lo matzi shakile. Because ultimately, again, he is simply unable to go ahead and remove it. Vi'i rabbanon. So I don't understand. But if it's rabbanon, nishkale nihile biyad. But if it's rabbanon, then ultimately, again, just allow wart removal to go ahead and take place by hand. V'tif showed Rabbi Eliezer. So we'll say, Rabbi Elazar. But it appeared that really this reflects the Rabbi Elazar. How so? Damar Elazar, machlokes biyad. That's the only machlokes I will say is wart removal by hand. But if you're removing the wart with a kli, everyone will agree that halacha lemaisa chayiv ulatameich. But according to your reasoning, Rabbi Eliezer nami lishkalei nehele biyad, let you remove the wart with right by hand. Hai mai. So what is this case talking about? I amrit b'shlom Rabbi Eliezer hana degazer yad atu kli. So I'll say, if it's Rabbi Eliezer, you could say that we don't allow you to remove it by hand, lest you come to remove it by kli. Ela amrit rabbanon, eli amrit rabbanoni. But if you say reflexive view of the rabbanon, nishkale nehile biyad. So ultimately, again, let him remove the wart by hand. To which the Gemara says, v'su lo midi. And there is nothing more to talk about this topic because we've exhausted this entire topic of wart removal from Karbanos and from Kohanim. So we'll say, what is the halacha lemais in this case? So we'll say, so again, this is an interesting case in general. Just leaving aside the mikdash, so what is the halacha with wart removal on Shabbos? So the Shulchan Aruch, this is in Simen Shin Mem Sith Beis. Sorry. Quickly. Shin Mem Sif Bey says follows. Asr lachtoch yabeles migufo. You are not permitted to cut off a wart on Shabbos from your body. Bein biad, bein bekli, bein lo, bein laacher. Rabbi says, so halacha lemaisa shulchan aruch paskins, you cannot go ahead and remove a wart on Shabbos, right? Whether ultimately, again, you do it with your hand, you do it with the utensil, whether it's your wart or whether it's someone else's wart. No wart removal on Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah qualifies this even more, and he says, afilu hi yevesha do'omedes lehis parech lebasof mi'atzma, afilu hachi aser, v'kol zele yini sura v'alein, chiyuva enu chayv elem ki notla, kishilacha b'kli, das hu b'chla gozi. So both say, interestingly enough, the Mishnah Berurah says this is even true with a dried wart, but he says all of this is drabanan. The only time there is an iser da'oraisa with wart removal is where? Where the wart is moist, and you remove it with a kli. right, with a utensil, then it is the malacha of gozes. So we'll say again, only doraisa if it's moist and if it with a kli, but if you're missing any one of those two factors, you're only dealing with an isudraban. So were you to go ahead and bite off a wart on Shabbos or to remove it biyad on Shabbos, it would be an isudraban. Which Shabbos means in a mikdash, the Rambam paskins, that halach lemaisa, they would remove warts on Shabbos from animals and from kohanim, but not with a kli. Now with the kli, so as long as you're not using a kli, then halacha lemaisa it is a din derabana, not a din deraisa. And once it's a din derabana, we apply the concept of ein shavus b'mikdash. There is no din derabana in the beis hamikdash. Good. Let's go weiter. Rabbi said another. I tell you, these are great cases. Great cases. Mishnah. Kohen shlaka b'etzbo. Rabbi said the kohen gets an injury on his hand. Here's the case. The kohen is injured on his hand. So what happens? Korich aleg gemi b'shabbos. So we'll say, essentially, he puts a band-aid on Shabbos. Now look at Rashi. Korech ala gemi, va'af api shagemi mirape ha'samako, hova v'hashtem yotzorech avodihi, delav orech arosh shetireh makasu im avod mechasas. We'll say, I want to be clear. It's really not a band-aid. We're going to see, gemi means a reed. We'll say, we're going to see the reed itself had certain curative powers. So what the Mishnah is saying is like this. If a kohen, he hurts his finger on Shabbos, it's bleeding. So Rashi points out over here, it's not appropriate for the kohen to go ahead and do the avodah with blood coming out of his hand. So what does he do? He places a reed over the wound. Now we're going to discuss the impact of that in just a moment. So the kohen goes ahead and places a reed. Right? So kohen shalakah betzbo, korech alagem b'mikdash, avalo b'medina. Rabbi says, you can't do this in the Medina. You can't do this outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi says, now why not? Look at Rashi. Shemirapi b'shabbos uro b'shabbos shavus v'asur. Because we'll listen to this. The act of putting a bandage on a wound is what? Is Rabbi say, is an act of refuah, an act of medicinal healing. All acts of medicine, I shouldn't say all acts, that's not true. So medicinal healing is problematic on Shabbos, midrabanan. What's the concern? Gzeira mishum schika saman. Rabbi says, and I want to point out something. With bandages, we've seen now two things. Here, the Gemara is talking about putting the reed on the wound, and the problem is refuah on Shabbos. Now, in general, we see that there's a problem of refuah on Shabbos. That's the gzeira of schika sanamonim, a concern that you may come to grind up herbs, because that's how medicines were made. That's how medicines are made. So, Bosei said that's one concern. Remember, by the bandage, we saw the other issue. That was what? By the bandages? Smoothing. Mimareach. Here we're talking about the concern of refuah. So the kohen could put a reed on his wound in the Beis HaMikdash because, again, that's a derabanan, and derabanans are dispensed with in the Beis HaMikdash or suspended in the Beis HaMikdash, but you can't do this outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Aval lo b'medino. Im hotzi dam kan v'kanasa. But we'll say, if halacha l'maisa, the reason you're putting the reed on the wound is to extract the blood. So we'll say, yes, in this case, you'd be tying the reed around the wound in a tighter fashion to extract blood. That is going to be aser in the mikdash and in the medina. Look at Rashi. Kan v'kan aser she'in zet sarech avoda va'od da'habi lechova va'ab malach alo mishnah gabar. Because we'll say it's two problems. Number one, it's not a sarech avoda. It's not necessary for the avoda. And number two, that's the gzir of shchita. Right? That's the malach of shchita, drawing blood. So also, I want to point out something very interesting. What the Gemara is saying is like this. The reason a kohen is allowed to do this in the Beis HaMikdash is because it's considered to be sarech avoda. It's considered to be necessary for the avoda. Why is it necessary for the avoda? Because it's not appropriate for blood to be coming out of your hand when you're doing the avoda. Therefore, you're allowed to do this in the Beis HaMikdash, but not outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Good, let's analyze. Amar Rav Yehuda Brei Rav Chiya, Lo Shanu Ela Gemi. This is only true, so I'll say this dispensation is only regarding a reed. So you could put a reed on the wound on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash. However, Ela Aval Tziltzil Katan Havi Yitor Begadim. But I will say Tziltzil Katan literally means like a little belt. You can't put a little belt on your wound, for that is called an additional baguette. Now, we'll say, now, what does this mean? You could put a reed. What can't you do? You can't put like some type of material on the cut or on the wound. Why not? Because Rabbi said the additional material will be treated like additional Kohanic vestments. And remember again, the halacha is a kohen who adds on to the big day kahuna, ultimately, again, his avoda is pasul. Right? You're not allowed to add on to big day kuna. So according to Yehuda, the act of putting on some additional material on your wound is considered to be the addition of additional Kohanic vestments and will be problematic. Rabbi Yochanan says, Though Amru Yiter Begadim Ela B'Malkom Begadim. Ava Shalom B'Malkom Begadim Lo Havi Yiter Begadim. So we'll say, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, that's not true. And we'll say, yes, it is true. There is a problem with adding on additional Kohanic garments. Now let's say that's only if you add on additional garments where the Kohen wears additional garments. So for example, you know, the Kohen wears an ephod, he wears an apron. So if you put on two aprons, that's problematic. But again, Rabbi Yochanan will say the act of putting on, you know, an additional piece of material on your finger because you got a cut, the finger is not a place of begadim. So because it's not a place of begadim, the act of putting on that bandage is not considered to be additional Kohanic vestment. So we'll say, so this is really fascinating. So Machlokis, Rabbi Huda, and Rabbi Yochanan. See, here's what we know. The Mishnah tells me I could put a reed on my cut. If I'm a coin working in the base of Indish, I could put a reed on my cut. That's called Tzorech Avoda. Coin can't do the Avoda with bloody hands. Fine. But you can't do it outside of the base of Mikdash. Good. Why not? It has the appearance of refuah. That's the issue. That's the problem over here. Comes along the Gemara. Rabbi Huda says, by the way, it's only a reed. It's only a reed. But you can't, if something that's made out of actual material will be a problem. Why? Because it's like wearing additional Kohanic vestments. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, what are you talking about? It's only called additional Kohanic vestments if you put it on in an area on your body where you are already wearing Kohanic vestments. But a cut on your finger where there are no Kohanic vestments, even what they call tzilzel cut on a little belt, a piece of material, is not called donning additional Kohanic vestments. I says the Gemara, v'sefok le'mishum chatzitza. But a second, isn't there another problem over here? That having anything on your finger should ultimately, again, be a problem of chatzitza, right? Of an interposition between your hand. Rabbos, remember again, the coin has to handle kalim. We spoke on this before, right? Rabbos, remember again, we got into this with the bandage. Why the coin is allowed to put the bandage back? Because if you don't allow him to put the bandage back, he's not going to do the avodah. He can't do the avodah with gloves or the bandage. So why isn't that little band-aid, right? Why isn't that reed a problem? Bismol. Also, we're talking about where the wound is on the left hand, right? The wound is on the left hand. So remember again, avodah is done with the right hand, not the left hand. So maybe that's the problem. So therefore, again, there's no problem with chatzitza. Inami, b'yamim v'shalom makom avodah. Or else, he gave me his right hand, but it's a part of the hand that he does not use for the avodah. So because he doesn't use it for the avodah, therefore, halach l'maisa, there is no problem. Okay, to which the Gemara says, "Pligi de Rava," and I will say this argues on Rava, because what does Rava say? "The Amar Rava, Amar Chista, b'makom begadim afilu neima achas chotzetzah." So I will say this is very interesting. So now I will say we're going to get into the dinim of chatzitza. So now you understand my machlokis. The machlokis is, I will say, essentially what happens if the kohen wears a garment or a piece of material on a part of his body where ultimately, again, the kohanic begadim aren't worn. Is that considered to be yitor begadim or not? The Amar Rav, Amar Rav Chista, b'makom begadim. If the kohen wears an additional garment in the place where he normally wears his begadim, afilo neima achas chotzetzas. Even one additional strand of material is a chatzitza between his body and the begadim. Shelo b'makom begadim. But I will say if the kohen wears something additional, not in the spot where he normally wears begadim, shalosh al shalosh. That it's only an item that is three finger breaths by three finger breaths that serves as a chatzitza. Chotzetzas. Pachos mishalosh al shalosh in a chotzitzos. But halacha lemaaseh, if it's less than three finger breaths by three finger breaths, ultimately, again, it does not pose a chatzitza. So the Gemara says, Ad Rabbi Yochanan vaday pliga. So you know what? We're going to stop over here. We're going to pick up a mirror. So just to understand what we're leaving off with. We're leaving off with a machlokis in the Mishnah about what type of item can be used to cover the kohen's wound. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's dafka the reed. It's dafka the reed. Because anything other than a reed that's material, ultimately, again, will actually pose a yitor begadim issue. According to Rabbi Yochanan, halacha lemaisi yitor begadim, only problematic with their actual begadim. I will say, now what that sparked is a whole discussion regarding chatzitza by Big Day Kahuna, which Emir Tashem we will resolve tomorrow. I will say, Yashar Koyach.
Ta-ta-ta-na-ya-ha-ma-shana-sa-sa-ya-ha-ma-shana-sa-sa-ya-ha-ma-shana-sa-sa-ya-ha-ma-shana-sa-sa-ya-ha-ma-shana-sa-sa-ya-ha-ma-shana-sa-sa-ya-ha-ma-shana-sa-sa-ya-ha-ma-shana-sa-sa-ya-ha-ma-shana-sa-sa-ya-ha-ma-shana-sa-sa-ya-ha-ma-shana-sa-sa-ya-ha-ma-shana-sa-sa-ya-ha-ma-shana-sa-sa-ya-ha-ma-shana-sa-sa-ya-ha-ma-shana-sa-sa-ya-ha-ma-shana-sa-sa-ya-ha-ma-shana-sa-sa-ya-ha-ma-shana-sa-sa-ya-ha-ma-shana-sa-sa-ya-ha-ma-shana-sa-sa-ya-ha-